So I'm going to start off with something a little different today. I'm going to start off with a story. So let's talk about Abraham. Abraham, if you think about him in historical context, he was actually he was alive around the time of Nimrod. If you think of the lifespans back then, Abraham actually and his father actually knew Nimrod. And in the Midrash, which is the oral Jewish traditions that go along with the Torah, it talks about stories of Abraham and who he was as a young man growing up. These are not officially biblical, not biblical at all, but they're really, really fascinating stories. And Abraham had the opportunity as a little boy, he would be able to sit at the feet of Noah and Shem because they were still alive when he was born. And he would learn their values. And Noah and Shem, we knew, were alive and be able to interact and, of course, interact and learn from Methuselah and Adam himself. So that's the lifespans back then, something really kind of neat to learn. But Abraham had to face Nimrod. Abraham had to face that system he was growing up in. He's in the Babylonian world. And his father, Terah, was actually thought to be an idol maker. He made the idols that they would take to Babylon into the temples that was to be worshipped. And there's some neat stories about how Abraham interacted with his father. So there's one story where Abraham had to encounter Nimrod, and Nimrod called Abraham, and there's a conflict there, and he commanded him to worship the fire, because that's what Nimrod was, a fire worshiper. And Abraham said to him, well, if we're going to worship the fire, let's go worship water, because water is more powerful and able to extinguish fire. And right in it, said Nimrod, and we should worship water, and in that case, we should worship the clouds, Abraham said, because they carry the water. We should worship the clouds. And Nimrod said, yes, we should do that. We should worship the clouds. And Abraham said, well, then we should worship the wind, because the wind controls the clouds and blows the clouds across the sky. We should worship the wind. And Nimrod said, yes, we should do that. But Abraham says, humans have the power to rule over the spirit. Wind is the spirit, right? So we should worship human beings. Nimrod cries, you are playing with words. I only worship fire, and I'm going to throw you into a huge furnace. Let God, the God you worship, come along and save you from it. So exercising his power, Nimrod then threw Abraham into the fiery furnace. And in ancient times, that was this big pit, right? It's where they would do the smelting, and it was a large hole in the ground, and he threw him in the furnace. Furnace was used for purifying things. It was also a control mechanism that Nimrod used to put his enemies to death. Now, Abraham's brother Haran was watching this during this encounter with Nimrod, and he witnessed the fiery furnace episode. And he thought, well, what am I going to have to do if I get called on? He's going to have to choose. What am I going to have to do? Would he say, I worship Abraham's God or I worship Nimrod's God? If he didn't, and much to Nimrod's amazement, right after that, Abraham comes walking out of the fiery furnace safe and sound. So Nimrod, being even more angry, asked Haran, whose side are you on? Just like Haran was worried about. And Haran responded, Abraham's. So Nimrod wasn't sure about Haran, so he threw Haran into the fiery furnace too. Haran's plan didn't work, and he died and was burned up. So what's the point of this story, even though it's kind of colorful? There's clearly some symbolism, right, from the story that we know about in Daniel. Abraham was having to choose a path, what he was going to take, to worship the sun god, to worship the true God. And we're having to have to choose those kind of things in our lives too. We know the story and we're going to be facing those same choices that Abraham had to make. Hopefully not literally, but maybe literally. Moses warned the Israelites just prior to his death in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 19. Take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the host of heaven. You feel driven to worship them and to serve them, which the Lord your God has given all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. Verse 20. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance, as you are to this day. So let's focus on the furnace itself. The furnace is a symbol of God's testing, of God's purification. It's not only there to just cause affliction, but it purifies and tests us to our deepest parts. We have to be willing and accepting this process to praise God from this and to see the light for how God provides to choose it and how this furnace shows us that light. Because it does end in resurrection, resurrection to life, or resurrection to death. Now, there are different types of furnaces. So I won't go through all of them because we could spend an hour doing that. But We all know the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel, they were cast into the fiery furnace. The very similar parallels to Abraham's story, where one came from. We will go over there. But Nebuchadnezzar, what happened? He threw them into the fiery furnace. They didn't hesitate. They went into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar became full of fury, and his form was changed as he saw this happening. And he saw four in the fire, right? And four came out, and then they came out of that fire. That brought Nebuchadnezzar, actually, if you remember the story, to actually pause and think about the God he was following. So the furnace can be just a furnace in this case. It can be a smelting furnace. And this is kind of a big furnace if you want to think about it. A furnace that is large and it's dominant. This is the furnace that, if you read in Genesis 19, verse 20, as Job looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah where it had been, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. So it had been wiped out. This term, kabosh, is one of the Hebrew words, is to tread down, to negatively, to disregard, to conquer, to subjugate with violence. So you think of the Babylonian furnaces, you think of the Egyptian furnace, right? That was the Israelites in Egypt. They are being subjected. This is the furnace that burns and it's intense. And maybe it violates you a little bit. It brings you down into bondage forcibly. Now, this can be an external furnace that we're having to deal with. Maybe it's the world around us. We know the world around us is getting a little hotter, if you want to use that phrase. And we've probably all have these in our lives, don't we? We've seen furnaces that are out there. They're oppressing us. They're violating us. They're really making us work. These are the furnaces that will turn us into bricks. You think about my sermon about a year ago, bricks versus living stones, right? It will turn you into a brick, so you're no different. We're all just the bland, same bricks. It doesn't glorify God. These are just there as these pressures around you. Then there's another type of furnace. This is a smaller furnace, a little furnace. The word is kur, K-U-R, the Hebrew word. It's for smelting metals, but it's for testing and for purification. We see lots of references through this. In the Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20, I talked about you, where the Lord brought you out of the iron furnace. Here he's talking about the furnace in the sense of it's a testing and purification process. This is Jeremiah 11 and verse 4, which I commanded your fathers to in this day, and I brought them forth from the land out of Egypt from the iron furnace. So this iron was purified. It was tested. This iron, this type of furnace, helps that metal to become something different, to remove those things within it. So it's not pressuring it. It's bringing those purifications out of it from inside. The third type of furnace is actually the furnace referred to in Matthew 13, verse 42. And it should cast them into the furnace of fire, and there should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We see this furnace in Revelation. Revelation 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, a great smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. That's a fascinating verse, and we could get into another time. But here is this furnace. That's the final fiery furnace. It burns it up, and that's done. That is the end. But what more can we take from these furnaces? What is the purpose of going through seeing these different types of furnaces, these big furnaces that are oppressing us, these furnaces that are purifying us, and this final furnace that we're trying to avoid? 1 Peter 1 and verse 6 and 7, you may know where I'm going with this. And in this you should greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if it need be, that you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the furnace, the fire that's purifying us and building our faith. Think of Mr. Holliday's sermon last week. Faith is the beginning of us being able to bear good fruits, right? This is this furnace, this fire is there to build our faith. And these trials in 1 Peter talks about, these are precious. These are more precious than gold, more precious than money, right? These trials are precious because they help purify those things that are deep within the metals that we are, if you want to use that. These trials, though, also are for one reason, aren't they? They're here because to bring praise, honor, and glory. Not for ourselves, for the revelation and for our God the Father and Jesus Christ. Proverbs 27 verse 1, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man for praise. So trials, these different furnaces, are here for us to praise God. This is not something easy to think about when we're going through these furnaces, is it? It's to praise him for purifying us and for loving us enough to put us into the fiery furnace. It is the praise that is key to that trial. Praising God is what he wants. Everything we do, we're here so we can praise God. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to chase after him. He wants us to find his glory. And we find that glory by seeing and feeling that glory. And that is what builds our faith, right? We're seeing something that we can't see, right? The faith is the thing of things unseen. If you're in that fiery pit, you're in that furnace, all you may see physically is that flames around you, right? But faith is those things unseen. That's the process of building our faith. And the furnace itself, it's a fire. It's a light. That light from the furnace may show us those things that we haven't seen before. Now, we can get lost in the smoke of the furnace that we talked about in Revelation there. That smoke could cloud our vision. May not see. We're not seeing through that light. But the light of the furnace, the light of that fire, can help us see our own judgments, our own ideas. It can see what God's path is before us, not the smoke of our own reasoning. That light will show us the imperfections we have and show us how to be honest with them, how to be honest with ourselves. And those impurities are probably not something we easily want to see, and we're probably trying to ignore. I don't know if you're like me, you try to ignore those things. We all try to do that. Maybe we try to put on our little veneer, right? We try to be our whitened sepulchers. But you have to see those impurities down underneath. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13, for each one's work will become manifest, for on the day it will disclose it, because it's been revealed by fire. And the fire will test the sort of work each one has done. Each of our choices, each of our works, each of our impurities, if you don't know what they are now, God is going to bring it out. He's going to put you in a furnace. And it will be there when God wants to reveal it. And then you won't just be the only one to see it, probably, possibly. Maybe everyone will see that furnace. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to show those impurities a little bit. Get rid of them. Expunge them. Purify them. Now, I'm not talking about group confession. It's not a horribly bad idea in some circumstances, but maybe not always appropriate for the particular things. But maybe, though, we need to be a bit more trusting. Get rid of those impurities. Because otherwise, God's going to make sure he gets rid of those impurities, right? So we have to choose. We have to choose life or death, just like Abraham did in this story. He had to choose follow Nimrod or God. Now, that would hopefully be a pretty easy choice for you if you had Nimrod standing in front of you. But we know Nimrod is still standing around us today, right? Maybe not physically, but that system that's been designed to put those pressures on us, to form us into bricks, that's Nimrod. Maybe we're our own Nimrods. Maybe we're trying to do our own thing and not letting God work those impurities out of us. We're each unique. We each have our own faults. We each have our own problems. We each have those impurities and hidden underneath in the raw ore, if you want to think of that, right? That ore has to be purified and refined. That's another furnace that it has to go through. Those temperatures, how you get rid of those, it's all going to be different for all of us. We all can't go through the same furnace. God's got one for you, and you're going to have to find it. So when you come out of the furnace, what are you going to be? What are we going to be? What has changed in your life in the past year? Where have we changed as a church in the past year? Because it's going to happen again, right? That furnace is going to become, it's guaranteed. God has promised that to you. We have to learn to break free of our own mental, physical, our own psychological limitations. We have to get beyond that. We have to look and ascend to something greater. We have to see something greater there. As we're in the furnace, you don't see just the flames around you. See where God's wanting you to be. And then we have to have the passion and the trust. We have to have the faith to see that stuff and just build that faith, because that's where we're going to bear fruit. So if you want to be fruit, you'll bear fruit. If you want to be first fruits, we have to be pure. We have to be tried by fire. We have to be tried by furnace.